I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Driven by our D&M Leasing Studios, you're rolling with the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
All right, Ben Peoples is in the Rangers clubhouse per Evan Grant. That is whom the Rangers recently traded for. Bullpen arm. Maybe we get a roster move here before the game starts. We'll have Jared coming up with us at the top of the hour. Hour number three of the G-Bag Nation, Zach Wolchuk, Eric Chiafal, the Super Bowl champion scout, Brian Broaddus, and you, along with Lucius Alexander, back in master control. We got Austin Nix coordinating our video. You can watch us on Twitch and on YouTube. Thank you so much for all the interaction here on the text, 877-881-1053. What are you getting into on this 4th of July weekend? But we got to talk some football. I know we need our fix. Let's go ahead and hit it right after this.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Wrong side!
Left side!
Wrong side!
Left side!
I use these for acid indigestion.
So what are we going to use these for?
Intimidation.
You know I got to get my fix, man.
Did you ever participate in the viral ice bucket challenge when it was going around? I think it was, 2014? It was really, really popular?
I did.
You got iced?
We were doing it. Where was I? It was at DallasCowboys.com. Yeah. I think that's what we were doing.
So former NFL running back Chris Johnson, who came out this week and said, he's got ALS. No, but it was for ALS, the Ice Bucket Challenge.
Okay.
It was to bring awareness to ALS and try and raise money. So according to the ALS Therapy Development Institute, the drive helped raise an estimated $135 million in the United States and $220 million worldwide in the fight against ALS, which gained popularity back in the summer of 2014. So now Chris Johnson is bringing back the Ice Bucket Challenge to raise awareness of ALS as he is fighting the fatal nervous system disease. So we're going to start to see it. And I mean, I participated. I think that was I was back in college at UNT in our dorm room. Me and my buddy were just like, all right. And then you got to go and nominate somebody else. So we nominated each other and then just went on from there and there and there. So hopefully it raises money for a good cause. And gosh, I haven't been able to start really thinking about that interview with Chris Johnson. And then all the highlights that have come back out, you just remember just how freaking dominant he was, CJ2K. And now, gosh.
It's as heartbreaking as anything you'll ever see.
Such a debilitating disease.
That interview with Michael Strahan and how quickly it has zapped him of everything. It feels like we just saw him at the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Absolutely.
And he's sitting down. I think he was sitting down with Reggie and doing a Houston hit with them. And it was like, oh, my gosh, there's CJ2K looking exactly how you would imagine he would look. And then now you wake up and the dude has deteriorated in such a heartbreaking way. And the idea that something like that could just be lurking around the corner for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it's just like all of a sudden you can wake up and start to literally decay like that. Like that is, because usually you're like, okay, let me make sure I'm doing X, Y, and Z to prevent something. But this just kind of snaps and decides you're my victim right now. And I don't know that there's really anything you can do. I know a lot of people had suggested just the nature of football and how the concussion stuff can.
Yeah.
And that is another eye opener when it comes to seeing players dealing with concussions and having to really give them grace there in their recovery, because it really can affect you in the biggest of ways.
No doubt.
Years down the line. And this isn't even CJ2K 40 years after his career.
Yeah.
He's still in the prime of his life.
I mean, it is.
It really is just just gut-wrenching,
it
dude.
Is. It's so sad. I mean, he's talking with his – he can't even, you know, speak. He's using his eyes and the machine to talk. It's – oh, my gosh.
Well, and how strong he is, just the way that he's talking about it, his attitude about all of it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it has been and just the darkest,
I mean, look,
of times
you have your
him,
children. I can understand how, what a
beautiful family.
Is.
Gosh, he's got four kids. Yeah. I just – I can't – I just can't even stomach what that is and what that's like for them right now, dude.
Well, if we're just going to stick on, like, sad stories, the Calais Campbell stuff is – wow. Did you guys see this? Like, yesterday, we didn't have time to get to it.
I was hoping you were going to pivot to some kind of pizza pocket herpes on your lip.
No, I mean, gosh, honestly, that probably would have been a better story than this. But Calais Campbell's mother was found dead.
The brother have something
the
to do with it?
The brother has been charged with murder. Yeah. Yes.
What the hell, dude?
Police found their 71-year-old mother dead at their home in Atlanta during a welfare check. His family told police that he struggled with mental illness, his brother, that is, and now an arrest warrant for Nateel Campbell. Her throat was cut, and the brother was found in possession of a knife. Officers found her unresponsive when they arrived at the house, according to a police statement. And the brother of Calais Campbell, who's 41 years old, was booked into the Fulton County Jail, where he was being held without bond, and waived his initial court hearing yesterday on charges including aggravated assault and murder. Just such a disaster of a situation.
Yeah, it's,
can't even imagine that.
That's insane, dude. Mm. And Calais Campbell, now, I mean, I don't know.
Amazing how long he's played, though.
I know. I
mean, what, in 20 years? It's such a high level, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, such a high level as a player.
Still a good player.
Yeah.
Really, really is. Now, this is we're going to stick with the defensive line. A trade that I saw circulating today, and it's Max Crosby back in the news.
Oh, here we go.
And we've heard about two teams that are kind of, you know, maybe waiting in the Max Crosby sweepstakes wings, and it's the Niners and the Eagles. Hmm. But this is Las Vegas Raiders insider Vinny Bonsignor. I don't know if I'm saying his last name right. But
I don't know Vinny.
He's a household name in the insider Bonsignori. World.
Bonsignori. The framework for a San Francisco 49ers and Raiders trade involving star pass rusher Max Crosby would be the Niners get Crosby. The Raiders receive a 2027 first-round pick, a 2028 second-round pick, and Mykal Williams, who is going into year two
wow.
and was just, I think, the 10th overall pick
yeah.
by the 49ers in yeah. the first round a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Dang,
that's a lot.
That does feel like that does feel like a lot here. I don't know if I was, I mean, I don't know. Even just thinking about it from a Cowboys perspective, like I don't even really want the Cowboys to get in these Max Crosby waters before the season starts, unless they just get an unbelievable. Hey, we'll trade him to you for like
right.
a mid round pick or something. But for a haul that they're trying to get like this here, I'm at the point where I would just want to let the season start. I'm going to be confident that the Raiders are going to be sucking and selling at the deadline. And if Max Crosby shows that he is still the same or similar version of himself and he's bounced back after the knee issue, then I would feel better about trying to swing a trade for him in the middle of the season.
We talked about this in Love of the Star today
mm-hmm.
a little bit about
yeah.
about the Max Crosby and when would you think about going? Because Eric and I had some questions about the pass rush.
Yeah.
And
just overall for the
overall,
Cowboys.
Overall, we were kind of going through the positionals. We were going through Warren Sharp's rankings and stuff. So we were trying to kind of get a gauge for that. But that sounds a little much.
Yeah, right?
It sounds a little much. Now, I can understand given the one and the two.
But also the player. Just was a first-round pick?
That's where I would be, and I wonder.
It's basically two first-round picks and a second-round pick.
Yeah, and exactly. This is from a Raiders person on their side of it.
Sure.
So who knows if the 49ers are thinking the same way you are, which I would think they are. It's like, you want the player or do you want the picks?
Yeah.
You're not getting both. What would.
At least let me get, like, Paul George in return.
Yeah, come on.
Okay, can we play a little game here then?
Yeah.
Let's take the Cowboys roster,
mm-hmm.
okay? Do the trade, but do it from a Cowboy angle with the same picks and then the player.
So it's Ezeraku?
Yeah, it would be Ezeraku. Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
Or it'd have to be Malachi Lawrence.
Definitely don't want to do
first
that.
Round.
Yeah.
But no, I'll give you a one and I'll give you a one.
Yeah.
But I mean,
would you do a one today for Crosby?
I would. Yeah, I would. I think Crosby's going to be fine.
Okay.
I think I get it. I totally understand the doctors saying, like, the long-term concern here. I don't care about the long-term concern. I'm looking at, I got, like, a 2 to 3 year window here, especially with the uncertainty of George Pickens. Like, I look at my roster, I think this thing's ready to go now. I just saw Seattle win this conference, and they were, what, we just heard in Infinity Sports, they were 60 to 1 odds this time last year. Like, you can go and get this, all right? Any year, it can be your year. Go and be aggressive.
Does it have to be Ezeraku? I mean, just do it with do it without thinking about, say, making it a defensive end. Think it just about another player.
Well, they need receivers. I mean, if they would want, I don't know, would they want a Flannoy or a Pickens? I don't know. Do you want to see Pickens?
That's the thing about it is, if you have no intent in doing, if you have no intent in signing Pickens, which they evidently don't, do you trust Flannoy enough to be the two right now?
I think he would be fine. But, I mean, clearly it's your offense is not, you know, what you're thinking of the juggernaut that it's going to be.
Warren Sharp this morning, I learned, had the Cowboys skill players. Pass catchers ranked number one.
Yeah.
Out of all 32 teams.
I mean, look, all you can do is look at what Ryan Flannoy did
what would
when
they be,
given his opportunities.
What would they be without Pickens? What would they be ranked without Pickens? If you said it was, if it was Lamb, Flannoy, and Ferguson, right? Is that how it all worked out?
Yeah. I mean, I think you go from number one to
10.
Yeah, I think you're flirting with, are you still in the top 10?
I mean, because Cincinnati's definitely going to be ahead of you. The Rams will be ahead of you. The Vikings will probably be ahead of you. Otherwise, I mean, Seattle's probably ahead of you, right? Sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, those are the teams that come, like, right to the top of my mind. But I think...
But it also, your run game suffers. Because defenses right now...
But it didn't in the games that CD was out. Maybe
the
Carolina...
The run game didn't suffer?
Carolina was the only game that they really struggled to run the football in. You know? Pickens isn't some, like, amazing blocking receiver.
No, it's just that defense is, like, you got to play in a two-high shell.
I understand that aspect of it.
Every play, if I know Lamb and Pickens are on the field, I can't screw around with trying to stop the run because I'm about to get a 50-yard bomb ski on me.
That's totally fair.
You know, so I do think the presence of Pickens and Lamb together opens up things in your run game in a way that it just simply wouldn't without Flannoy.
I would offer.
Or without Pickens.
I would offer a one in Pickens. To the Raiders.
Would you really?
Yeah.
A first round pick and Pickens?
Yeah.
For Max Crosby right now?
Yeah.
Wow.
Damn, dude. You think Crosby's going to have a bigger impact on your team than Pickens?
I think he absolutely will. Yes. I do. I think to me, we're right now, the thing that is holding this, and I know Pickens was incredible last year, but the one thing that is holding you back is this defense. You add him to this defense. Where'd Sharp have this defense ranked overall? Where did he have him ranked overall? And then where would you, you know,
yeah,
like, I mean, was it 19? Where did he have him? Remember, you and I, it was 17?
For which
for the
position?
Defensive line.
For the front seven?
It was like 17. You put Max Crosby on this defensive line, you might have a top.
I mean,
might have a top 10 defensive line.
If Al Davis was still there, I'd be sending him, like, did you see what Sam Williams can do out here? This freak athletic. Yeah.
He'd be getting Turpin right now.
Oh yeah,
he'd be doing a one for one with Turpin. Just speed.
It just depends on how much faith you have in Flannoy.
I think I'd go in a two in GP.
Well, and
I think a one and GP is a lot.
And it's how much faith you have in Crosby's health right now.
Yes, fair.
Which is a bit of a mystery.
Sure, which is why I think ultimately you're right. I think that they would probably wait to the deadline. But I would love to get him here.
You have no intention right now of signing Pickens. You have none. Am I making this up?
But we're also in this world where we're trying to capitalize on right now with the Dak contract.
Yeah, and you
everything.
Have no.
I don't think I'm winning the Super Bowl with just one of them.
I think you and I had this discussion this morning about worrying about the defensive ends in the pass rush.
No, I know, but that you're replacing one problem with another. I think. Like, I would if I'm trading for Max Crosby right now and I'm the Cowboys, I don't want to put Pickens in there because I'm trying to go all in for right now. I don't know what Max Crosby's given me in 27. I'm banking on 26 being the year. So I'm going to need Max Crosby and Pickens right now. And then whatever happens after that, so be it. If Pickens walks and Crosby can't walk anymore after the season, yeah, it is,
I mean,
what it is.
Your way of thinking about it, because you're probably, you've got a player that might walk for free, I get.
Yeah.
It's just a one and the player is rich, in my opinion.
See, that, but what you're doing is, like you're saying, you, and I know Eric's trying to go in all that.
Which I get that.
Man, we have so many questions about this defense.
We do, and we'd feel a lot better.
You add Max
like Crosby
to this thing, it, I think it answers a lot of, maybe your pass, maybe your secondary is better because Max Crosby is rushing the passer. No, plus he's playing like
the run defense.
He plays the run defense.
No, listen, this isn't an indictment on Crosby at all. He makes your defense a heck of a lot better.
Your apprehension is only because of injury. Yeah. Or because of his health.
The health factor. And because like Pickens does matter a ton. I really don't want to have to give up Pickens right now because I think
they've kind of told you what they think of Pickens. Isn't that sad?
It is. It is.
Yeah. And it's not just them. It's the NFL.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. That's the way they have it. All right. We'll get back and do we can pick some of this up. We'll do a mixed bag coming up at 4:40-ish. But we're going around the rim.
Yeah. The Mavs miss on a score. The balance of power is shifting. And we grade this potential NBA rule change next.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nation. All right, it's time to go around the rim here in the G-Bag Nation, live from the Comerica backyard at Globe Life Field. Come say hello if you're coming to the game tonight. Rangers and Tigers, 6:30 pregame. Jared Sandler at 5 o'clock. Let's go ahead and, before we cut the lights out, let's let you know that the segment is brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one has been hurt in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214-333-3333. And now we cut the lights out. We put the kids to bed, and the G-Bag Nation goes all 56 inches around that rim.
Let it rain! Rain dance!
Rain dance!
I got a joint here, man. I've been saving for a special occasion.
Always a special occasion when Celtics fans are crashing out all over the internet after the truly disgusting Jaylen Brown trade yesterday, sending him from Boston to Philly for some picks and for Paul George, a.k.a. one of the single worst contracts still going in the association right now. 2 more years, over $100 million is what the Celtics will be paying the 36-year-old Paul George, who hasn't played more than 60 games in a season since 2019. You have Celtics fans crashing out in the comments section of Brad Stevens' kids on Instagram. Okay, so Brad Stevens, he's the shot caller there in Boston. He's the one that executed the trade. Mm-hmm. And so his kids, or teenagers or whatever, they post on Instagram, and they're just being peppered with Celtics fans saying, like, your dad ruined my life, worst trade ever, yada, yada, yada.
Oh, no.
There's a bunch of crash outs from Boston fans all over the internet. It's fantastic. But one of my favorites, of course, we were all waiting to hear from the biggest national Boston Celtics voice, Bill Simmons, on his podcast.
Oh, yes, of course. I think he's become a big Charlotte fan.
Yeah.
Did you get a colonoscopy when all this was going on?
Yeah, he will.
Oh, he was?
He's going to explain it to you right now. Okay. Here is Celtics fan Bill Simmons.
And she goes, they traded Jaylen Brown. I'm like, I had just woken up from anesthesia, and I'm not, as you guys know, not really coherent. And I'm like, where'd he go? And she's like, to Philly for Paul George and 2 first-round picks. And I'm like, I think I'm dead. I think I died. The anesthesia killed me, and now I'm a dead person. And I'm like, and I'm just trying to process it. And it's like I have a head injury. And I'm like, is there more? Are there more first-round picks?
Did they get the Clippers first?
And she's like, Zoe's really upset. So now my daughter, who likes Jaylen Brown, and she, and I'm like, all right, can you read me what the trade is? And she reads me the trade. And then I stumble out of this hospital place. So when this trade happened at 3:20 Pacific time, I had a camera in my ass, and I had Paul George be up my ass. And that was happening at the same time. And that's how I'm going to remember July 1st, 2026.
The day Paul George became a Celtic.
A camera and Paul George in his hind parts.
Wow.
There he is, Bill Simmons, not appreciating the trade here as the balance of power has started to to change a little bit. I mean, it's all about the Western Conference, and the best teams are still in the West when you look at, I mean, I know the Knicks are the champions, but with OKC and with San Antonio, those are kind of the cream of the crop here when you look at odds for next year's title. But now you're looking at the East, and the East is becoming much more formidable with what the Sixers are doing right now. And with what the Raptors did with Kawhi Leonard, with Giannis going to Miami, I mean, you're starting to stack it up where all of a sudden you're seeing the East be much more competitive. You still have Detroit out there. You still have Cleveland out there. And maybe LeBron ends up going to Cleveland. So the East is becoming a little bit stronger as it stands right now. But the hit pieces are already out. For Jaylen Brown, as you knew they would be, Broadus, you have all sorts of pundits talking about their anonymous sources, and that's the biggest pain in the neck at this time. It's always the anonymous sources. Like when you're gonna say something this detrimental to a person's narrative or character,
put your name on it.
I kind of feel like you need to put your
name
on it.
Damn right.
So you have the
don't hide.
You have Colin Cowherd saying, quote, I had two NBA sources, two people in the league, one an executive, one a scout, say that Jaylen Brown has a disease. He suddenly thinks he's the smartest guy in every room he's in. You make a lot of money, suddenly you're absolutely sure. You don't want to listen to your bosses. You don't want to listen to consultants. You don't want to listen to teammates, okay? So that's what Cowherd is vomiting out from the anonymous sources. Then you have Chris Mannix saying Brown's frequent Twitch streams caused some headaches in Boston's front office, and his claim that last season was his favorite, besting, you know, the 2024 run that ended in a championship, didn't go over well with the fan base. Behind the scenes, there was plenty of grumbling about Brown's desire to be viewed as a basketball equal to Jason Tatum. So this was them just saying, we got to get rid of Jaylen Brown, I guess, and we will take any offer that is out there. And similar to Pickens, I guess the league kind of told you the way they feel about Jaylen Brown. And I think part of it is because he just makes so much money. It's like, we're bringing this guy
that's
in,
gotta be a big part
and he's
of it.
Making close to $60 million per year
and then Boston
for the next
also,
3 years.
You know, they looked so desperate in this. You know, they're trying to get Giannis, and then as soon as you don't get Giannis, I do think, you know, to your point yesterday, I agree overall they wanted to move Brown. They felt like he was like, you know, a cancerous piece to this organization.
Say it's a problem.
But they also clearly then put themselves in a bind where now the rest of the league knows you need to move him, and what are you going to do? And how many options do you have? So... yeah, look.
Philadelphia threw him a lifeline.
I mean, 432 or 443 said, I listen to Boston radio all day, and the sentiment is, Nico, you're off the hook. I still think that they got more than what the Mavs got. You know, Paul George and Anthony Davis is a wash. At least they got two ones and two twos.
Yeah.
You got Max Christie.
Yeah, and I'm excited about Christie. It sounds like Dusty May is super fired up. I don't know if he's just blowing smoke.
He was a bright spot last year.
Is he just blowing smoke about Christie? But Dusty May feels like this is going to be a Max Christie breakout kind of season. So we'll see. Maybe we end up getting a little bit more at the end of the day with Christie in that whole deal. But, yeah, I don't think anything will ever compare to the disaster of the Luka trade.
No, but this isn't good.
This is pretty close.
Yeah.
This is pretty close when you're trading for
and
Paul George,
It all goes back to they just didn't want to give up those two backup bigs in the Giannis deal. Is that really the reasoning? Like, I've heard a lot of people like Shams and other insiders are saying it just comes down to these two backups that Milwaukee wanted, and Boston was like, nah, you know, we're not putting them in there.
That was part of it. I do think Giannis had some demands as well about the next contract that he wants to get, the extension that he wants to sign. I think they wanted it to be a little bit less than what he wants, which is like the ultimate max that he can get. They wanted to make that a little bit of a smaller contract on the extension, and I think that was something that nuked the deal as well, whereas Miami was like, hey, we're so desperate for Giannis. Whatever you end up wanting in an extension, you'll get from us. But yeah, it's just it's a weird deal where 10 days ago as a Celtics fan, you're thinking, we might get Giannis.
Yeah.
And now you have Paul George and his wheelchair. So... Now, elsewhere around the league, the Mavericks were interested in Anfernee Simons, young guy who's a heck of a scorer. Really like him. He ends up going to Philadelphia. Philadelphia now becoming a bit of a destination for some of these guys.
Good.
Yeah, he can really score with the best of them. I would have loved the idea of him coming off the bench and providing some offensive juice there, three ball and some ball handling and just going to get buckets, create his own shot. That's the kind of guy that Simons is, but he signs with the Sixers. Golden State, Miami, and Dallas were all trying to get him, but he decided to go with the Sixers. Then you have the LeBron stuff where Shams is saying that the Sixers are now definitely in the mix trying to make a pitch to LeBron James. So you can add the Sixers to the list of Cavs, Warriors, Heat, and I think the Denver Nuggets as all kind of the main teams that are really trying to push to go get LeBron here. And we're going to be on LeBron watch, I would imagine, for at least the next few days. And maybe it's July 6th when it's officially the new league year and everything starts to, the dust starts to settle and see where teams are at. And then he can get a better picture of, okay, what is the exact roster that I'm joining here? But those are the teams that are still in on LeBron. I did love this LeBron stat of the day. It's pretty incredible. From Andy Bailey, LeBron James had over 12,000 points, almost 4,000 assists, over 3,500 rebounds, 552 steals, and 300 blocks in 8 seasons with the Lakers.
Damn.
There are only 36 other players in NBA history who hit all 5 of those marks for their entire careers. And basically all of them are in or will be in the Hall of Fame. So just his Lakers run, like we talk about with Brady, where he had like a Hall of Fame run in the first portion of his career, then he went on another Hall of Fame run in the latter half. LeBron's the same way.
With every team he's been on, really, he's got 2 separate with Cleveland. The Miami one, isolated, and then the Lakers.
Yeah, they're all Hall of Fame.
They really are.
Like, if that was all he ever did in the NBA, he'd still be a basketball Hall of Famer. Wow. Absolutely incredible. We'll see where he ends up. And then I just wanted to throw this out there. You have the big Kelce-Taylor Swift wedding at MSG.
Yeah.
And they have apparently, is this fair? It should be all or nothing. They invited just simply the starting 5 on the New York Knicks to be able to attend their wedding.
She's supposedly a Knick fan. You would think that they would have more.
But, yeah, I get what you're saying. Well, I mean, Mitchell Robinson's not on the team anymore.
Just the starting 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, anybody who was on that team, you would think, like, hey, we're at MSG. You're all champions.
Right.
You all get the invite here, but it's just the starting 5 that got the.
Like Landry Shamet had some pretty big moments.
Yeah, Shamet. Sorry, bro. Sorry, Jose Alvarado. Yeah. Sorry, dude. Yeah. You're not getting this.
That's a toughie.
So that would be like player and probably plus 1.
Yeah.
So
that's 10 people.
Yeah.
Maybe the list got a little, you got to make cuts, I guess.
Law enforcement said that this, like, they tipped off that this is happening. There was one guy, I think TMZ was interviewing, that's invited, that says that this could be a smokescreen. The wedding's actually somewhere else. It's not even MSG at MSG. I don't know. This is going to be wild. And then they've got everyone signing NDAs. And
everybody has to sign an NDA. They built like some sort of castle inside of MSG.
They built a castle?
Some sort of makeshift castle, reportedly. So it's going to be insane. But only the starting 5 of your champion Knicks get the invite to the biggest
wedding. Well, how many Chiefs get to go?
That's a good question. I mean, Andy for sure. Mahomes for sure.
Yeah, I don't know how many Chiefs. That's a good question.
See, that's what I'm saying, though. Is she playing favorites here?
Maybe like 1,000 people at this wedding. Yeah. It's going
to
be unbelievable.
Maybe that's why you have to have it at a place like MSG.
Okay, let's see here. 877-881-1053. There's your rim sesh here in the G-Bag Nation, live from the Comerica backyard at Globe Life Field. And coming up next, Wolchuk's Mixed Bag.
All right, let's hit the mixed bag. Who are the greatest athletes from the state of Texas, and would you eat this fast food breakfast? That's next.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
In the nation. Thank you very much, Lucius. We will talk with Jared Sandler coming up at the top of the hour. We do have some Rangers moves as Ben Peoples' contract has been selected from Round Rock. Winston Santos has been optioned. And Jordan Montgomery, his injury rehab has been transferred from Frisco to AAA Round Rock. So that's good news. We'll get more Rangers info from Sands coming up in just a little bit. But right now, let's shake it up. How about we do a little mixed bag, shall we?
You want a chocolate?
Mama.
Mama.
Leave the gut.
Mama.
Take the cannoli.
Mama always said life was like a box of chocolates.
How do they get them back?
Just throw it in the bag.
You never know what you're gonna get.
All right, according to Joe Pompliano,
my Italian brother,
the U.S. men's national team's win against Bosnia-Herzegovina has averaged 24.4 million viewers on Fox. It peaked at 31.8 million. That makes it the most watched soccer telecast in English language U.S. history. Wow. I guess you got to specify English language.
Good caveat.
Yeah. It could be Spanish. And I'm sure that, you know, those probably still hasn't broken those records. But that's good. And I think that that's probably going to even balloon more on Monday night against Belgium. Make sure you're getting your at least general admission tickets to come party with me at COSM on Monday night. That's going to be absolutely phenomenal. I can't wait for that. Also, former Lions cornerback Terrion Arnold, his attorney wrote in a court filing that three NFL teams have already contacted Arnold since he was waived and that he expects to join a new team within 30 days. The statement was made in response to prosecutors seeking to require Arnold to wear an ankle monitor while on home confinement, arguing that his release from an NFL team means he no longer has football-related obligations. So his agent, attorney's like,
wow.
No, he's probably going to be playing for somebody else.
My client's a commodity, okay? It doesn't matter if he's got an ankle monitor or handcuffs, okay? Doesn't matter if he's potentially going to be behind bars. People want this man.
He still has football obligations, okay? You back off. You do not put an ankle monitor on my client, sir. Absolutely not. Go screw yourself. Also, I thought this was pretty fun. We have the top five players from every single state, athletes, that were ranked. And this is courtesy of Sports Illustrated. Now, the top five athletes in the state of Texas.
All-encompassing athletes?
All-encompassing. Everything. The biggest state in the mainland of the USA is home to several sports giants, including 7'1" Shaquille O'Neal, who was a state champion at Robert G. Cole High in San Antonio before becoming a four-time NBA champion during his Hall of Fame career. He is joined on this list by fellow basketball star Cheryl Swoops, a Brownfield native who attended South Plains College and Texas Tech before becoming a four-time WNBA champion and three-time WNBA MVP. Beyond the court, the state of Texas.
I thought if there was going to be a Swoops on this list, it would have been Tyrone.
Tyrone Swoops got so disappointing.
Yeah.
But he was amazing in high school. The state of Texas also features the likes of several other champions, including three-time Super Bowl winner Patrick Mahomes, two-time World Series champ Clayton Kershaw, and seven-time gold medalist Simone Biles, with 11 total Olympic medals overall and 30 world championship medals, 23 of them gold. Biles is widely regarded as the greatest gymnast of all time. Mahomes and Kershaw, arguably the best players at their position of their generation. So those are the top five greatest athletes from Texas. Simone Biles, Patrick Mahomes, Cheryl Swoops, Shaquille O'Neal, and Clayton Kershaw.
I mean, that's a pretty star-studded list right there. The amount of, I mean, I'm sure there could be some fighting over some of these athletes.
Yeah.
Texas has bred
it's got a lot.
A ton of dominant athletes. So to crack the top five is pretty dang impressive.
Nolan Ryan's getting texted in.
How about Michael Johnson? I just kind of I'm thinking about all these Olympic athletes that have been here, is there a criterion? Did I miss the criterion for this, or was
they
this
just had to have been Texas
born in Texas?
Yeah,
jeez,
and at least participated, I think, through high school. It seemed like their pro career could have gone elsewhere.
Yeah. God, it just feels like to me there's so many great athletes that
Bob Lilly from the 817. Was probably a Texas guy. Obviously, he was a long time.
He was the first overall pick by the Cowboys. I know Bob was down there in the Waco area.
Okay.
But
Bob Lilly would definitely qualify.
Bob Lilly absolutely qualifies for this stuff.
Yeah. Only.
Oh, always, only.
Oh, always.
Yeah, and he was
Kevin
a two-time Horn Frog.
Him and KT. Him and
KT.
Hell yeah.
I know he lived in Waco for a little bit, though. Too. I thought he might have been from that down in that area.
But Bob Lilly used to steal KT's lunch money.
He did. Evo, Scotty Scheffler, Lance Armstrong. I think Lance Armstrong's probably like now he's not going to be on these lists after all the crap.
I remember KT telling a story about how Bob Lilly gave him a swirly right before his big theatrical performance.
I don't think Bob would have been into that. Matthew Stafford, Earl Campbell.
Yeah, I was just going on and on and on.
There's a lot. I mean, I think
Bob Lilly gave him a wedgie at one point as well cafeteria.
Sure, Bob
remember that
done.
Story?
Yeah. He would have done a lot of stuff there. Wedgies. Swirlies, you name it. I mean, Bob's not the kind of guy that I'm trying to mess around with there. Now, Bill Barnwell, which area has the best NFL players? And he's trying to do this World Cup style. So he narrowed. There's a couple of states that are good enough to where they're just alone, like Florida, California, and Texas. Otherwise, he had to do the Midwest, the Southeast, the Southwest, the Northeast, and the South Atlantic for this. What he did was he used 30-man lineups under specific constraints. So on offense, each team gets two quarterbacks, one running back, three receivers, one tight end, six linemen.
If you have two quarterbacks, you have none.
We're building rosters to play in September of this year, he says, and eligibility is determined by where each player played in high school. So you're only making the list for each state or region if you played high school there. There's no trades allowed, and not every era is represented. This is currently for the 2026 season. So for the state of Texas, this was the team that Barnwell came up with, and it's pretty star-studded. I'll tell you, spoiler alert, they won. They were the best team out of anybody.
Texas beat everybody.
Texas kicked everyone's ass.
Texas beat California, beat Georgia.
Yep, Florida.
Beat Ohio, Florida.
Well, so those were Midwest regions.
The regions.
So the only ones that had their own state were California, Texas, and
I was just naming
Florida.
All the states I was thinking of to have great football.
Yeah, they do,
players.
Yeah.
You mean Texas didn't get flagged for offside every time they scored?
No, they didn't. Matthew Stafford and Patrick Mahomes are the quarterbacks. Your running backs, Devon Achane. Wide receivers, Jackson Smith and Jigba, CeeDee Lamb, Garrett Wilson, Mike Evans. Probably the weakest spot on the team's tight end. They go with Durham Smythe of the Ravens.
Durham Smythe.
Yeah. Eli Stowers will probably end up taking that spot soon enough. Offensive tackle, Trent Williams, Lane Johnson, Rashawn Slater. That's loaded. Guard, Tyler Smith, Robert Hunt. Center, Aaron Brewer, who just was an all-pro. Edge, Miles Garrett, Danielle Hunter, Max Crosby.
Dang.
D-tackle, Milton Williams, Ed Oliver, Byron Murphy.
Strong.
Your linebackers, Jordan Brooks and Nick Bolton. Your corners, Christian Gonzalez, Reek Woolen, and Zion McCollum, who's a corner for the Bucs that's underrated. Antoine Winfield Jr., Jalen Petrie, and Trayvon Merrick are your safeties. Kicker, Chris Boswell, punter, Thomas Morstead. Elite offense here with plenty of firepower. No quarterback on the planet would want to go up against the best edge-rushing trio in the tournament. Texas has some weaker spots on D, though, and this is another team that would be playing shootouts every time they touch the field. But, yeah, we can go through some of the other ones, but Texas ended up winning out on this tournament. Elsewhere in the mixed bag, Dave Portnoy said he'd hire Diana Rossini at Barstool.
Oh, of course he would.
He'd bring her in. So it's a no-brainer. It's not like she committed murder. You know, it's a terrible thing. An affair is not like murder. It's bad, but I'm not in the family. She'll land somewhere, and, you know, if people who have affairs are never allowed to work again in the country, you're going to lose a significant amount of the workforce.
That's a match made in heaven. It'll go perfect.
Let me ask you this. Do you think he's doing it as a favor? He's a huge Patriots fan. Do you think he's doing it as a favor
for
to
Kraft?
The head? Well, how about
for Vrabes?
How about for Vrabel? Yeah.
Yeah, it could be.
Get his side piece and
like,
work.
That like, could be. Hey, listen, like, give her an opportunity. She didn't deserve this, you know. Well, maybe she did. I don't know. But he's not wrong.
He brought Gruden back. I mean, yeah. He's not a guy that's going to shy away from controversy
not at
and
all.
Stuff.
Not at all.
Last thing, McDonald's is not releasing this in America, but they are in Hong Kong. And it's chocolate McGriddles. So instead of, like, the syrup, it's chocolate. It's cocoa.
Is the bread chocolate or is it chocolate inside the bread?
Both.
Like, Oh, wow.
It's
okay.
Infused.
Yeah. Wow. That might be a little too much. I
sausage
love the syrup.
Sausage and egg, Choco McGriddle.
I think you're messing with a good thing here. I think the syrup pairs so well with the sausage, the egg, and the cheese.
Yeah.
To put a little chocolate on my sausage, egg, and cheese. Like, I don't want chocolate on my on my breakfast items like that.
That's
you
an
know?
Overload.
I think that's just a little much. I think we might have crossed the line here.
Hey, Lee, can I ask you guys a real quick question and circle back about that football thing? And I just noticed this.
Yeah.
If I had to tell you, pick which of the states has most NFL players between North Carolina, Louisiana, and Ohio?
I'd say Ohio.
Louisiana.
It's actually North Carolina.
Wow. That's shocking.
Okay. North Carolina has 105 NFL players.
That was a trick question.
Louisiana has 102. Ohio has 99.
Dang.
That's wild. That's wild.
Yeah, that's an upset. Yeah.
All right, let's chat with Jared Sandler, our buddy, getting you set for Rangers-Tigers here at the top of the hour. That's next in the Nation.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.